Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
And we got a great 3 hours for you. Believe you me. At the bottom of the hour, we got Bonzi Wells.
Wow.
You might remember a week ago, Bonzi Wells said that Chris Paul's probably the best point guard in NBA history. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore. That's when Bonzi thought it was 10 people on Mount Rushmore. So we will talk to him about that and more NBA stuff. So that'll be fun. But we got football. We got basketball. We got a little bit of baseball. So there's so much to get into over the next 3 hours. So keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83, however you may be listening. Let me welcome in my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. What's up, bro?
What's happening? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. The weather here in Jersey is nice. It feels like summer. And so I love it. I mean, you get that every day, I know, but
it's funny because today was a little chilly in LA today.
Was it? Yeah, chilly. What's chilly? 71?
No, but you got a little jacket today. But seriously, which was a little different, but it is what it is. I'm not going to complain. Very happy. Lot to do. What else we got going? Today is a Trash Talking Tuesday, so
yes.
We'll have a chance to trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. We'll do that in the final hour, your chance to join the show. Also, I did a little trashing myself on Deadspin today, and I trashed Evander Holyfield for this exhibition that he has coming up in June. Enough already. I said I was so mad. You got to go watch the video, deadspin.com, or check out my social. Said I was so mad I wanted to bite his other ear. That's how mad I am. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
But hold on. Here's the thing. Why did you trash Tyson? Did you trash Roy Jones?
Yes. Yes.
You did trash all them when
of
they
them.
Fought?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I'm so just like,
okay,
stop.
You're not just singling out Holyfield. I just don't want one of these guys to get hurt. Rob, I got to be honest.
He's 58 years old, Chris. What are you doing? But is it really just money? Can you just have a charity? Can we do a GoFund him and just put money in rather than doing this? If it's about money and you need money, ask for help. Seriously.
But see, I don't know if they need money, but look.
If he gets his block knocked off, Chris, now what?
It's an exhibition, though. Who's he even fighting? They didn't. I know when I saw it, they didn't even announce it yet. Has it been announced who he's fighting? But anyway, if there's
some guy I never heard of, just forgot his name.
If it's gonna be several million dollars to get in there and dance with somebody, come on, man, that ain't a bad gig.
Everybody keeps thinking it's cool until somebody gets seriously hurt. It's going to happen eventually.
Well, I would have watched it. I ain't going to lie. But him and Tyson scared me because they would have fought for real. And at their age, they might have pushed the limit. So
right.
I'm kind of glad they aren't doing it. All right. Let's introduce the Odd Couple crew. We got DJ Alex Teichert, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan on the ones and the twos. On this Trash Talking Tuesday, we got super producer Rob G in full effect. And on the updates, our man, Mr. Ralph Irvin. All right, Rob, let's get to it. Mark Cuban, NBA owner of the Dallas Mavericks, the most outspoken owner in the NBA. He voted, along with all the other owners, unanimously before the season started, to have the play-in tournament, which basically gives the 9th and 10th seeds in each conference a chance to make the playoffs, like one final shot. And now, though, he has changed his tune. He and Luka Doncic. Luka obviously didn't vote on it, but Luka came out and said he's against it. It doesn't make sense to him. And then Cuban, perhaps, you know, he was just backing his superstar, but he came out and seconded what Luka said. Rob G, kind of summarize it and read a little bit of Cuban's quote for us.
Yeah, the Cubes, who decided that he didn't want to put out an actual news conference or any kind of interview. He decided, I'm going to do this all via the DM, like these kids are doing these days. And he was messaging with Tim McMahon from ESPN, and here's what he said. I get why the NBA is doing it, talking about the play-in tournament. But if we're going to be creative because of COVID, we should go straight 1 through 20 and let the bottom four play in. This year in particular, to do it, since 10 games are cut from the 82-game schedule, we're in conference. The worst part of this approach is that it doubles the stress of the compressed schedule. Rather than playing for a playoff spot and being able to rest players as the standings become clearer, teams have to approach every game as a playoff game to either get in or stay in the top six, since the consequences, as Lucas said, are enormous.
But a few things. Number one, 1 through 20. So he's saying basically forget the conferences, which I would be cool with. You know, I've been saying that for a decade or so now. Just take the 16 best records. You know, the East has gotten better. It's certainly got some of the top teams in the league. Now it's not as bad as when it was so lopsided. But still, I think it'd be great to just go with the top 16 records. But he's saying go with the 20 best records and have the last four teams playing. What's the difference? So I don't get that, number one. And then number two, he says teams are having to play hard for the entire season because they got to get their seeding right? To finish in the top six. Okay, that happens at times in every year. There are teams that are battling for that eighth seed, and they got to go hard for the full 82. There are teams that are battling for the fourth seed so they can have home court advantage, or maybe even, you know, a second or even a first seed because it'll help them in the playoffs. They're battling, so they will still go hard. And remember, this season's only 72 games. So you're 10 games less anyway. So I don't agree with that. Rob, I'll just say this quickly because I want to hear your views on this. I get what he's saying. They're playing a lot of games together. That's the one point I think he makes, is that they are cramming more games into a shorter period of time. But that mean to me, the mistake was starting the season on Christmas Day, as great as that was, and I enjoy watching the games, but they gave the players too little time off, 71 days, when they're used to almost twice as many as that. And now you see, look, maybe they would have got injured anyway, but LeBron, AD, Joel Embiid, Jamal Murray just goes down. Maybe some of these injuries are related to the players not getting as much time off. So I think you just should have started when the players wanted to play fewer games, and then you wouldn't have had this issue that Cuban's worried about.
Yeah, I'm against all this stuff. Like, to me, it further invalidates the regular season. Why do you need to have other teams who might be under 500 or haven't really played well enough have playoff games? It's just a money grab. Go back to traditional of leaving it the way it is. Stop rewarding people for not playing well. We saw it in the NFL last year. Washington, you know, wound up making the playoffs with an under 500 record. I just don't like it at all. I really don't. I think it's too much. I got it. Last year, baseball did something because of the COVID and they only played 16 games. I would be against that. 16 of the 30 major league teams making the playoffs. I just even where you might be have a little excitement to it. It just, you don't want to get to the point, and you see it in the NBA already, where people just want to wait for the playoffs. Like, it doesn't even matter. And once you do that, once you really make people feel like the regular season doesn't matter, I think you'll see the effects of it it'll have on your game. And I'm not for rewarding subpar teams who haven't played well enough to make the playoffs. Make it something that you're fighting for, that you're trying to go for. And instead of just thinking about television revenue, if it's about television revenue, then freak the whole season and just let everybody make the playoffs, all right, and then make it be a crapshoot. But why? I don't understand. If you're going to let 16 or how many, 20 of the 30 teams in, what's the difference between putting all 30 in? If it's just about, well, it's a play-in. Let's have the last five bad teams play and see who's good, and then they move up and a round-robin tournament, and then they move up, and let's just keep playing and make it like college basketball early on until you get further along. So it's, what's the difference? If you're going to do 20 teams or you're going to do 30 teams?
Well, I think there's a difference in that. That's 10 teams.
You can have a one-game playoff. They all play on one day, and then you could just move. Everybody makes the playoffs before the playoffs start.
I don't have a I think you agree with Cuban, but it sounds like for different reasons than him. You just don't like getting these extra teams. I like it. Now, look, I guess they're experimenting again like they did last year in the bubble, and we'll see if they decide to carry this on. But I like it. I think it adds a little more excitement to the regular season in that you've got more teams, you know, that have life. Like, I do admit, Rob, in the East, I couldn't care less about the play-in in the East. Because after the first, you know, after the top five or six in the East, it's pretty mediocre from that point on. So who cares?
But that's the point. So then in
the West, I might see Steph Curry. I might see Zion. Like, in the West, because it's deep, I think the play-in will be exciting and fun. And it's not a seven-game series, thankfully. It's just a one- or two-game, you know, series. So I think that I like it. And you know, we'll see how it works this year and whether or not they want to continue it. But I do get what Luka's saying, Rob, when he says we're playing 72 games already. You shouldn't need a one or two game playoff to determine, you know, who that those seventh and eighth teams are. However, Rob, I gotta admit, in baseball, it's even worse when they would have the 162 game season. And then a one-game playoff.
How is it worse when there's only 10 teams out of 30 making the playoffs?
Because it's 162 games. But
it's only 10 teams,
162 games down to one game. But here's my point.
I'm talking about the number of teams involved.
No, that's
fine. It's not
fine,
a bad team.
I'm saying,
it's a good team.
But Luka's point is you got a long regular season that determines who the better teams are. A one- or two-game stretch or you know, play-in doesn't tell you as much as the 72 games did. So that's what he's saying, which I agree with. But my point is, baseball, which made even less sense, if you're playing 162 games and then you only play a one-game wild card, but here's the thing. I like that game. It is exciting. It is. It's like you talked about, Rob, with March Madness. The one-game elimination makes it exciting. And ultimately, it's about creating excitement with the fans. So,
but you could do that with
I'm
every
cool
team. Then you could do that with the whole league. Have a one game at the end with teams that finish under 500 because it would be exciting, and you would sell out, and people would watch because they would be eliminated. My point is, you would negate what the regular season stands for, and I think that's the damage that's being done or could be done by doing it. That's what I'm talking about. You don't want to make the regular season irrelevant. And the more teams you add and the more Washingtons that make the playoffs just to lose in the first round, what is the point of that? It should be the teams that have excelled and earned a spot in the playoffs.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know our buddy J-Mac, Jason McIntyre, sometimes known as our punching bag. Here at FS1, he has a new podcast that he actually shares with Rob G called Straight Fire. And they had Charles Robinson, friend of the show, Yahoo Sports NFL reporter, your personal friend of yours. He went on there and he said that there's issues in Green Bay between the Packers and their superstar quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Here's Robinson.
Well, the thing that's off in Green Bay is that Aaron Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, are not – they're not good. Like, they're just not. He doesn't
– Aaron Rodgers, are they bad or are they just, like, not good?
I think they're bad. I do. I think Aaron Rodgers looks at Brian Gutekunst and says, this guy is not showing me. He drafted Jordan Love. I don't think he believes. I think Aaron Rodgers behind the scenes does not believe Brian Gutekunst believes in him.
Wow.
And does not believe in him as any. And he just won the MVP and he's sitting there and he's going, I should have a general manager who's going, hey, my guy just won the MVP and we got at least a couple good years left here. Let's crank this out and really build around this guy. And instead, I think he feels like Brian Gutekunst is looking at Jordan Love in the future rather than saying the future I already have in 12.
Right.
And let's do what we can with 12 while we have 12.
Wow. He said a mouthful there, Rob. And you know what? From the reports you see, I tend to agree with this. He's not the first one to say this. There's a lot of talk about this. And for me, Rob, this is more evidence that the Green Bay Packers care more about being relevant and being, you know, a good, relevant team than they do about winning Super Bowls. And I think that's plagued them for the last several years, like close to a decade. And they've had the great Aaron Rodgers, and they're always, you know, good and relevant because he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. He generally, when he's healthy, keeps them in the playoffs, keeps the fan base thinking we got a shot to win it. Keeps the fan base rabid. I mean, it's Green Bay. They're already rabid. But when you actually have a good team, they love it. And I think they're more – they haven't gone the extra mile to help him out. And he hadn't been perfect. He's had his issues, too, in the NFC championship games. I'm not saying he's been perfect. But he hasn't gotten the help he needs. Jordan Love, the drafting of him, was another example. And now, when you got him playing as well as he probably ever has, instead of locking him up, we got a good coach. We got a lot of great pieces. Let's go all in. We saw Tampa Bay go all in. They added all types of people to help Brady and win a Super Bowl, and they did. Green Bay's not doing that. And to me, it's because we're relevant with Aaron. We got Jordan Love. We think he'll be the next guy. And he'll keep us relevant for another 10, 12 years as well. That's what I think. This is the latest evidence that they have not done right by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't prescribe to what you're saying about being relevant. It's Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's nothing else there. People have always showed up there, regardless, Chris. When they were winning championships, when they were in a drought and they didn't win, people packed the place. So I don't think that that's about being relevant. When you own a town or a region like that, that's not the issue. I just don't think that they've had – I think that they've needed a strong owner to push. It's a unique situation. It's a franchise that doesn't have an owner that's technically owned by the fans or stockholders, but they really don't own stock in the team. It's more, what do you call it? Like you bought shares, but you really don't own stock. It's more
they don't have any decision making power.
Right. Like there's no stockholder meeting, and you could say we're going to fire the coach or hire a general manager. It's more like symbolic. It's like a symbolic ownership when you buy money.
But they do have a decision maker.
Yeah, but I just think that they've been wrong. They've always done things the same way. You know, a couple of years ago when they played Seattle, I don't think that was their call for the tight end to mishandle the onside kick. I mean, they were going to go to the Super Bowl that year. They've had chances. They've had bad defenses. They've tried to have a team without any free agents because this is the Green Bay Packers way, where everybody on the team was drafted through that. That didn't work. They tried to sign some free agents. I'm just saying, I just think there's been bad decisions made, obviously, but I don't think it's like they don't want to win. This is a proud organization that's won a lot, especially early on, have had great players. I think they want to win. I don't know if the people pulling the strings or making the decisions, Chris, are good, But I don't think it's an organizational, well, we don't want to win, we just want to be relevant. I don't believe anybody in pro sports buys into that. I don't think that
so
that's why you get into it.
Why are they not?
Because they
you
have
think
bad.
They're doing
they have,
right by Aaron Rodgers.
I just think they make bad decisions. I don't think that they really. I would say that because it's not the same people. There are the other general manager
now,
before
right
that
now.
Got fired. I mean,
right now.
So,
I mean, how do you explain the way things are going with Aaron Rodgers?
I'm saying I think that they aren't really a good front office. They don't really know what they're doing. This is the NFL. Everybody, you know, like everybody, just because you're a general manager doesn't mean you know what you're doing. There are teams that the Lions have never made the Super Bowl. They've changed GMs and coaches 40 times and nothing's changed. So there's a lot of guys out there who are in these jobs who are no good at it, who are just no good. And the same handful of teams seem to win or have a chance to win, and a lot don't. Jerry Jones, you think Jerry Jones, he could be in that class of just being relevant, right?
Oh,
they're
no.
relevant.
No, he's clearly trying to win.
He's trying to win, but they don't win, and they haven't won in 25 years.
Right.
So what do you say to Jerry Jones?
He makes some bad decisions.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the Green Bay, I mean, you said they keep doing things the same way. If it's not working, why don't you switch up a little bit?
No, I get it, but I don't think that I don't think that the
when I say don't want to win, Rob, I'm not saying they want to be – They, I'm actually saying the opposite of them wanting to be not caring if they go 5-11. I think they're like, look, we want to. They were irrelevant when you and I were growing up for the most part. The Green Bay Packers were off the map, and then they got Brett Favre, and then they had their nice run, and then it continued with Aaron Rodgers. And I think they're afraid of falling off the map again, and Green Bay, yeah, they might draw fans there. But if that team's no good, they will fall off the map. And if they and I think they're more concerned with we rather just stay 11 wins every season, 12 wins. Sure, they like to win a Super Bowl. But my point is they are not going all out. I don't believe. I think
I think you were talking about the idea. If they just wanted to be relevant.
Well, what do you think I meant by relevant?
They didn't have to re-sign Aaron Jones. They have another guy who could have replaced him without re-signing Aaron Jones. They re-signed him. They didn't have to. They had his replacement right there, much cheaper, and they decided to keep him for what they have. I'm not saying they made all the right moves, Chris. I'm telling you, I think that they're not the smartest organization.
They're trying to win the
Super Bowl. But I don't believe that they just want to be relevant. And you know what? All of these general managers now, we see it. They all want to restart the clock with guys they draft. They don't care. Aaron Rodgers is no different from Tom Brady, who had to move on, to Peyton Manning, who had to move on, to Joe Montana, who had to move on. To all these guys, that's what they do in this league, and I don't think it's anything different on how they're treating Aaron Rodgers. They sent Joe Montana. Oh, no, we got your guy right here, Joe. Thanks for the 4 Super Bowl. 4-0, 11 touchdown, no picks. Thanks. Appreciate it. Steve Young sitting right here. Thank you very much. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, what's any different from that? That guy won 4 Super Bowls, and he didn't get to finish his career, and they were ready to move him out every chance they got. So I just think it's the NFL. I think it's the NFL.
Nah, I mean, Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls in New England. That type of winning can make you, you know what, Jerry Krause said it in Chicago, Jordan got them 6 rings. They were ready to move on. Like, look, let's build it ourselves. They were winning so much. Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls, and you had a great quarterback in way. You knew Steve Young. We all knew Steve Young was ready and going to be great. So those were different situations. Peyton Manning somewhat similar, although he was injured. You know, he had the neck injury.
He played great. He played great for
Denver.
Denver.
But I mean, you didn't know he was coming back like that. Like, he was hurt and when they moved on to Andrew Luck. So they haven't won enough with Rodgers. So they certainly can't be tired of winning Super Bowls.
I didn't say
and
that.
Rodgers
My point
playing,
was that
Rodgers at the top of his game.
Being relevant. I don't think that that's
true. What do you
true.
Think I mean by being relevant?
You just think like they don't care whether they win or not. I don't buy into that.
What
they
is,
might
what
not
is,
win,
what is, I didn't
but
say
I don't
that.
Believe being, that. I don't
what
believe
is the,
that.
What do you think I mean by being relevant?
No, what you're insinuating without saying it is that they don't care if they win or not, and I don't believe that
no,
that's
No, I'm not saying that. I'll define what I'm saying. By being relevant, I said it earlier, being relevant is making the playoffs just about every year or every year. Winning 11 games, having a chance. You're a contender, which they've been. But I don't think they've gone the extra mile, whether it was strengthening the defense, whether it's adding more receivers, whatever. Heck, you drafted a quarterback when you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league already. And so that's what I mean.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're excited to have our next guest in. Played a decade in the NBA, had a really strong career. And now he's joined us, Rob, in the media, the co-host of the great podcast he does with Rasheed Wallace called Let's Get Technical. You got to check it out. But we got one of the co-hosts, Bonzi Wells. Bonzi, what up, brother?
What's happening?
What's up, fellas? Man, how y'all doing?
Man, it's great to have you on. We're good. We're good. And look, man. You made a statement. Let's get right to it.
You already know. Because
I've been
trying
to ask you this question since you made that statement, Bonzi.
That's why I sent you the text.
Yes. I want to ask you, have you ever heard of Magic Johnson?
Yeah, why, yes, I have.
But the text was that Chris Paul, or the statement that Chris Paul might be the greatest point guard ever. And so, yeah, you hit me back with a text like, yo, let me explain myself. But go ahead.
Man, you know, and I might have misspoke. I've definitely misspoke. You know, you can't never disrespect the Magic Johnsons of the world, Oscar Robinsons, John Stocktons. But, you know, I played with Chris Paul, and I've just got a chance to, you know, see his body of work, you know, up until this point. And I just love it because I'm a two-way guy myself, and I've always loved, you know, guys who take pride in playing both ways, you know, both sides of the ball. And that's Chris Paul for me. I mean, he's a hell of a competitor. I mean, obviously he's a great point guard. We wouldn't have had this conversation, but just what he does on both sides of the court, that's what I love about him. And also he's done a lot of stuff for those other point guards that haven't done, and that's going to other different teams and making guys great. I mean, making the team better. I mean, if you look at his win share percentage, I mean, it's got to be great from team to team he's been on, and he hasn't had the luxury of throwing the ball to, like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Karl Malone and those type of guys, and I just really love his career so far, and that's probably why I made that statement.
But you look at it now. How much pushback did you get where you were like, maybe? Because Chris and I thought that maybe you thought Mouse Rushmore had 10 guards on it, 10 spots. Because we were like, there's only four spots.
Right. A lot of players say that, and they don't realize it only has four spots. You know what I mean?
Man, listen, man, you can make an adjustment to that Mount Rushmore, man. We can put five heads up. I mean, but, you know, if you know the game has evolved so much over the year, and, you know, a lot of us wasn't born in those eras, so we didn't have a chance to witness, you know, greatness. So, you know, we do get kind of disrespectful and kind of talking about the now. So I may have spoke too, you know, I definitely spoke, you know, out of my head. But I just think if Chris Paul does get a championship, how far up the list does he go for you guys?
Yeah, look, I think he's right there in the argument for five. Like, my top four, which would be the Mount Rushmore, would be Magic, Steph, Oscar Robertson, and Isaiah Thomas from Detroit. So those are my four. I think Chris Paul's battling, like, Jason Kidd and John Stockton for five.
See, I think Jason Kidd is clearly ahead of him.
Really?
Rookie of the year, won a championship. Took the Nets team to the finals 2 years in a row, where he was a driving force behind that. I don't know. I look at it, and Chris Paul's a great player. That's not even the issue. You know what? I'm not debating that. But, yeah, I don't have him in my top four either.
What's your top four, Bonzi?
My top four, definitely, I'm going to have Magic Johnson. I'm an Indiana kid, so, you know, we've grown up on the legend of Oscar Robertson. You know, for sure, Oscar Robertson's in my top. And I'm a huge, huge, huge Steph Curry fan as well. I mean, Steph Curry has definitely changed the game. He's revolutionized the game, so you can't never disrespect that. So I'll put him in my three. And that 4 or 5 is just, that's been my issue. I've always put a Chris Paul or a Isaiah Thomas, or, you know, you have the Walt Frazier's if you want to go back into the game, and John Stockton. So those four is a toss-up for me. So it's tough for me to really get that four.
Bonzi, let me ask you, when you say it's a toss-up, how can Isaiah be a toss-up? Won 2 championships, beat Magic, Michael, and Bird all in their prime, didn't have – Joe Dumars was a great player and whatnot, but he didn't have any other Hall of Fame players with him. How could Isaiah not be that fourth guy for you, or how is that a toss-up?
I mean, it still goes into the other side of the ball for me. I mean, if you look at Isaiah,
they were the bad boys too. Right? They were
playing defense.
No, he had backup. He had backup for bad boys, but he wasn't on no all defensive team. He wasn't Joe Dumars known to lock up Jordan and those guys. I take value in guys who strapped up on both ends of the court. Not saying he didn't have his moments, but he wasn't known to really strap up. So that's why I keep him in the category with the Stockton's. You know, and Stockton was a. You know, he didn't win anything, but he's an all-time leading assist, all-time leading steals. And if he would have won a championship, we might not be having this conversation in 2s and 3s because his numbers are up there with anybody. I mean, you're talking about durability, stat-wise, all-NBA, all-star. I mean, he's there.
So what about Chris Paul's durability? Why does that not hamper him, in your view? He's been hurt. He's been MIA
and Chris has
big games.
Some moments too, Bonzi. You know that. Like, I mean, he was known as this great clutch player, and then you remember the series against Oklahoma City where he kind of just fell apart in the last minute of a game. I think it was a game 5, a pivotal game. And then, of course, you know, they blew the 3-1 lead when he was with the Clippers. Like, the Clippers, I thought that was a championship level team, at least to get to the finals, and for them never to get to the conference finals. I think that hurts Chris, Blake, DJ, and even Doc. It hurt. You know, we'll see if he redeems it with Philly, but I think that team underachieved, and I think that does hurt Chris a little bit.
Definitely. I think it hurts him too, and the durability issue is always something with me, and I think that's what hampers Chris Paul from being really solidifying that fourth spot for me, because he had chances to be great in big moments, or injury or not showing up, gave him a different route. So, I mean, you guys changed my mind. I mean, I definitely, like I said, that's why I texted Chris. I was like, man, my fault. I know that was wrong what I said on the air, man. And I listened to you guys, and when I heard y'all cut me up, I was like, oh, man, let me reach out, man, and give myself a chance to redeem myself.
Nah, man, it's all love.
It's all good, Bonzi. It's just we love to have – you know, sports is not like math. Right. 2 and 2 is 4, right? No matter who's doing the math. When you talk about sports, everybody has a different opinion and different things matter to different people. So we respect, you know what I mean, your view. We don't agree with it, but we respect your point of view. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this, Bonzi, because this is an odd year. I mean, I think the 3 leading MVP candidates, at least at one point, LeBron, Harden, and Joel Embiid, I mean, they've all missed a good number of games. And so, like, I don't think, to me, Embiid's probably missed too many games to win it. LeBron's going to miss too many games to win it. Harden may miss too many games to win it. Which I think, like, I think Jokic, I have Jokic ahead right now. But if they really go, if they start struggling Denver without Jamal Murray, his candidacy could be in trouble. Did Chris Paul, just out of the process of elimination, is starting to move up the ranks just because of what he's done with Phoenix. Do you think he's a legitimate – and I don't even want to say candidate because, yeah, he'd be in the top 5 or whatever. But, I mean, could you see him winning it? Like, who would you have at MVP right now, and where do you think Chris is?
I mean, you said it. I mean, you got to almost go back to the year when Steve Nash won it. I mean, Steve Nash averaged maybe 19 and maybe 10 or something, maybe one of his MVP years.
I think the
years.
First year he won it, it was like 15 and 11. So it wasn't 19 points. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kobe was averaging maybe 37 that year, was having a crazy year, and they ended up giving it to him. So, you know, I mean, I think the voters may take a premium on a guy who comes to a different team like he's done everywhere he went, as he's been to. You take a team like Phoenix, who was kind of, you know, floating at the 8-9 bottom of the barrel in the West spot to the number one. Are they number one yet?
Number two right now.
Yeah, they're in the running. So, I mean, you look at what Chris Paul is doing. He's gave that team confidence. He's gave that city a jolt in the arm. I mean, because Phoenix, you know, it hasn't really had that jolt in the arm in a long time in terms of their fan base. And you got people believing again. So Chris Paul is definitely, you know, by the process of elimination and his body of work, definitely deserves an MVP conversation, or maybe MVP nod.
All right, that's our man, Bonzi Wells. You heard him. We convinced him.
Yes, sir.
Nah, great stuff, man. Look, I love the podcast. You got to check it out. It's Bonzi and Rasheed Wallace. I just mentioned those names. You know it's good. It's called Let's Get Technical. So definitely check that out. But, man, great stuff, Bonzi. We'll get you on again, man. Keep up the great work.
Man, thank you, guys. You guys have a great day, and thanks for having me again.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.